Testing in the House Chamber, 131st Legislative Day.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms has closed the doors. I ask members and visitors to please silence electronic devices. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative White. We'd ask members and visitors in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative White.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer if you so desire. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this evening. We thank you for David, who was a prime example of our failures and our successes. We thank you for giving him the wisdom to write the Psalms, especially Psalms 139. That gives us a plan for our lives from beginning to end. Our finite minds can never fully grasp this plan, this pattern, this landscape you made for us. I ask you to humbly let us always seek your will and know that you are always with us if we believe in you. As the psalmist said, how precious also are my thoughts, how great is the sum of them. Thank you for making each person in this General Assembly in your likeness. Guide their way. In your precious name, I pray.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for September 13th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves that the journal for September 13th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the journal is approved as written. Representative Torbett is recognized to send forth the conference report. The clerk will read.
Conference report, House Bill 211. To the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on House Bill 211, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to motor vehicle laws of the state. Senate Transportation Committee substitute adopt 626-19, 6th edition and gross 7219, submit the following report. The House and the Senate agree to the following amendment to the Senate Transportation Committee substitute adopt 626-19, 6th edition and gross 7219, and the House concurs with the Senate Committee substitute as amended. Delete the entire Senate Transportation Committee substitute adopt 626-19, 6th edition and gross 7219, and substitute the attached proposed conference committee substitute H211-PCCS-40518-SU-6. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report September 9, 2019. Conferees for the Senate, Senators Davis, Chair, Senators McInnes and Rabin. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Torbett, Chair, Representative Shepherd, Eiler, and Presnell.
Bill's order counter for Rule 44D for Tuesday. Members, we have an honorary page here with us this evening. We have Keith Kidwell II of Pitt County, who, of course, is the grandson of Representative Kidwell. Where is young Mr. Kidwell back there? Thank you for being a page this evening with us, sir. Thank you. Petitions, memorials, papers addressed to the General Assembly. Clerk will read.
September 16, 2019. Dear Governor Cooper, it has been one of my life's greatest honors to serve the great people of North Carolina in the North Carolina General Assembly. I will always look back upon my dates of service with great fondness and memories. I am now moving to serve our nation in the United States Congress. Therefore, I am hereby resigning the seat effective immediately that I have been privileged to hold in the North Carolina House of Representatives. I thank the people of Pitt County for the opportunity to serve them. Respectfully, Gregory F. Murphy, M.D.
Noted. House Bill 29, the clerk will read.
Representatives Bowles, Belk, Carson, Smith, and Richardson, House Bill 29, a bill to be entitled and act to require testing of all sexual assault examination kits, General Assembly of North Carolina Annexed.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, recognized for a motion.
Speak on the motion and move to concur.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 29. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion. The House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is one of the true bipartisan part of the budget that we had. It's a work that needs to be completed. We owe this to these victims, the rape victims, and to be able to test the kits. This is a two-part. It's $3 million the first and $3 million in the second biennium. And I just encourage your vote for this. Thank you.
For what purpose, Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Belcrise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize, debate the bill.
This bill is before us today because rape and assault survivors relentlessly advocated for an opportunity for justice. They championed their rights, worked with survivor advocacy groups, and inspired lawmakers and the Attorney General to create a system to track and analyze evidence more quickly and efficiently. Now survivors can be confident that the evidence collected in their cases is processed, analyzed, and put to work, identifying perpetrators, bringing them to justice, and keeping the people in our communities safer. So thank you all to the rape and assault survivors for your courage and tireless effort in advocating for the Standing Up for Rape Victims Act of 2019. And thank you, Representative Bowles, for the hard work you did on this bill and for affording me the honor to be part of this important legislation.
For what purpose the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
To speak on the motion.
Lady has four.
I just wanted to make it clear, this is a culmination of years of work. This is not just protesters coming in. This is a problem we recognized 6 or 8 years ago and began working on the process to get it done. It is a process that's needed to be done for 25 or 30 years. Many of these kits go back to the 1980s. They go back to the 1990s. They go back to the 2000s when Cooper was in as Attorney General and head of the lab and now governor. I want you to know, it's a problem that we took seriously when the Republicans took charge, and we brought it to fruition, identifying the kits, labeling the kits, determining what needed to be done, and now fully funding those that remain to be tested. So I just want to be clear, it's not that there's a group of protesters that came up here. It's an issue we were dealing with long before that.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House, is the motion concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 29. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Rogers, aye. Representative Alexander on the floor. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The motion concur to House Bill 29 is adopted. The bill is ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor. House Bill 75, the clerk will read.
Representatives Torbett, Lewis, Dobson, and Bell, House Bill 75, a bill to be entitled School Safety Funds, Programs, and Reports, General Assembly of North Carolina Annexed.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House to now concur with Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 75.
Representative Torbett of Gaston has moved the House to concur with Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 75. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the House, back in 1966, you remember we addressed some school safety funding for programs and reports. This House Bill 75, a Senate committee substitute, is that funding that we put in the full budget. And what it would do is it would appropriate funds for school safety provisions in the PCS, which would require the Center for Safer Schools to conduct a census of school resource officers in public school units. If you remember, we talked about not even knowing who paid for it, if every school had them or not had them, and just trying to get a good understanding of that. Now we'll be doing that. Section 3.1 would codify the fund grants for school resource officers and provide additional non-recurring grants 2019-2020 for students in crisis, training to increase school safety and safety equipment in schools. And that funding is listed in Section 3.1 if you have any questions on that. Section 4.1 would direct DPI, Department of Public Instruction, and the Center for Safer Schools to develop a recommended program to facilitate the transfer of school mental health support personnel between school districts during or after a crisis. Section 5 is also a nice one and a very big one, and thank y'all for supporting it back then and for hopefully supporting it this evening. We would require annual local and statewide reports on differences in the number of school mental health support personnel in the state from year to year, and expresses the intention of General Assembly that additional funds provided for instructional support personnel be used to fund additional school mental health support personnel. And that funding is listed in Section 5.1, which states that the funds appropriated to the Department of Public Instruction by this act, the sum of $20 million in recurring funds for 2019-2020, and the sum of $23 million in recurring funds for 2020 and 2021 fiscal year shall be allocated to the instructional support allotment. For the 2019-2021 fiscal biennium, it is the intent of the General Assembly that any additional funds provided to the instructional support allotment shall be used to improve student mental health by increasing the number of school mental health support personnel as defined in General Statute 115C-316.2A in each local administrative unit. Section 6 will require DPI to study and report on school psychologist and school counselor positions, so we'd also have a good accounting of those very important personnel. Section 7 would fund 8 full-time equivalent positions, or FTEs, for sworn agents at the State Bureau of Investigation, SBI, to support the Behavioral Threat Assessment, known as BETA, program. Section 8.1 contains administrative positions aligning the PCS with House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session and statutory continuing budget resolution currently in effect, General Statute 143C-5-4. I trust and hope that you will vote green on this Senate conference substitute.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 75. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will hot machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 75. The bill is ordered and enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 935. The clerk will read.
Representatives Blackwell, Stevens, White, and Dobson, House Bill 935, a bill to be entitled an act to implement various provisions related to social services reform. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Stevens, the chair, recognizes the lady. She has two amendments to send forth. Two amendments. We'll start with ASH 28V2. The clerk will read.
Representative Stevens moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 3, by inserting the following place immediately before period.
Thanks. Recognize. Debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, members, what this does...
Actually, the lady's amendment is out of order. It changes the title. The lady's amendment will be returned to her. But the lady will be recognized to send forth amendment ASH 29. The clerk will read.
Representative Stevens moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 16, by deleting GS-143B-968 and substituting GS-143B-972.
Please recognize. Debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This member is simply a technical correction. There was an incorrect statutory reference, and it corrects it in two different places. It asks for your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative John, gentleman wish to record on the amendment.
Yes, sir. Aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You can still press your button if you'd like, or clerk will watch machine record the vote. 110 haven't voted in the affirmative, none the negative. The amendment is adopted. Chairs informed the lady that the amendment would only be in order if there was a suspension of the rules to allow it. Chairs try to be consistent on these rulings. Representative Stevens has asked the chair if there's objection to a suspension of the rules on it, so chair is willing to go back with it. Is there any objection to suspension of the rules that the amendment could be heard as it changes the title? Hearing no objection to it, the chair will deem that the rules have been suspended to the end so that the amendment is now in order. The lady, I believe it's already been read. Please recognize to debate the amendment this time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members on both sides. We passed a bill this year in our family law bills that deal with the Interstate Compact on Adoptions. We adopted their law. The minute Department of Social Services, of DHHS, asked us to do that. When it got to the governor, they had time to look at it and said there are some things in it that we needed to amend because parts of it were unconstitutional. So the governor was going to veto that bill unless we could find a place to put this. I worked with Representative Batch, who does a lot of family law issues too, and we said this was the place to do. All it does is pull out all of the stuff that we did this year on adopting the Interstate Compact on Adoptions until we can correct that constitutionally. I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Dobson, aye. Mr. Clerk. The clerk will watch machine record the vote. 110, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. The amendment is adopted. We're now on the bill. Does the lady desire to debate the bill further?
Not unless anybody has questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 935 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Clemens, the lady would like to record on the bill. Representative Butler, lady would like to record on the bill. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 111, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 935 passes second reading and remain on the calendar. Notices and announcements. For what purpose, gentlemen from Mecklenburg, Representative Lofton, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to Rule 58 of the House Permanent Rules, I rise to give notice that I will file a resolution tomorrow to amend the House Permanent Rules.
Noted. For what purpose does the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
For an announcement.
The lady has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, my hometown is the fictional Mayberry, and once a year we have a festival, Mayberry Days. It's not this week, but next week, and it starts Monday and goes through Saturday, most of the events being Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I have a little brochure for anybody who is interested, can pick one up to find out more about Mayberry Days. I have a few people who have expressed interest to me before, so I just wanted to offer that opportunity to you. It is all things Andy Griffith. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Members and colleagues, I rise in this moment and ask that you would bear with me in this time as share with this chamber, as others have stood and shared about grave losses that our communities have faced and our state has faced. In Wednesday in Forsyth County this morning, we lost a great member of our community in the Reverend Dr. Carlton A.G. Eversley, pastor of the Delabrook Presbyterian Church. He also served as the pastor for Representative Evelyn Terry. Dr. Eversley in our community was not just anybody's pastor. He was a community pastor. He was a pastor who stood with individuals no matter what they were facing. He stood on social justice issues, standing with individuals like Daryl Hunt in our community, who was unjustly convicted of crimes and was part of the team that led our community to deal with and wrestle with that. I first met Dr. Eversley as a freshman at Winston-Salem State University when he was a professor there teaching African-American history and culture. He stood in my heart and my mind because when we came into preparation for our exam for African-American history and culture, every freshman was required to take the course. And so in a room full of 500 individuals, Dr. Eversley walked in with a 100-question exam, no answers, no papers. He was an intellectual and an academic, but was also one who could sit with a stranger on the street and provide radical hospitality. He read every question on that paper and gave the answers from his head. And every time a student would ask a question of him, he would be able to reach into his own mind and retort back. And in that moment, I knew he was someone that I wanted to admire and follow. And so 2 years later, as a junior at Winston-Salem State, I traveled with Dr. Eversley and Reverend Fells and Reverend Dr. Mendez of our community to Jena, Louisiana, where we were there during the Jena 6 rallies that took place. And I'll never forget the moment of standing outside of a restaurant in Alexandria, Louisiana, when we were denied entry into a restaurant. And was standing with Dr. Eversley and with Dr. Mendez and Dr. Fells and with a few other students from Winston-Salem State. And we were ready to go to another restaurant. But Dr. Eversley said, no, they're going to serve us. They came back with a message that said, well, you all are improperly dressed. And Dr. Eversley again challenged him and said, well, can you show us your standard for dress code to enter your restaurant? And they went back inside and they came back out and they said, we'll serve you all, but they didn't allow anyone else in the restaurant. So in a fine dining establishment with six individuals, we ate some lamb chops and some steak. And I said to Dr. Eversley, I said, why didn't we just go to another restaurant? Because we sure enough know they probably spit in this food. And he said, it takes courage to stand up to those that would dare to treat you unjustly. Said it would have been easy for us to leave and go to another restaurant, but you never let individuals off the hook when they treat you unjustly. And so today, with a deep heart, North Carolina has lost a warrior for social justice.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
For a moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a rare occasion whenever we have a harvest moon. It's also somewhat of a rare occasion when we have unanimous votes of all who are present. Such an occasion occurred tonight. It was so rare that even the amendments were unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Guilford? Representative Quick, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has four.
I just wanted to rise to wish my oldest daughter, Jasmine Quick, a happy birthday today as she
turns 28 years old, and she's been a joy to me and our family since the very second she was born. Happy birthday, Jasmine.
What purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
For appointed personal privilege, please.
He's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, it is with regret that I tell you today that former House member Laura Wiley and her husband Bruce lost their youngest son Friday. Please keep them in your prayers, her and her family. You remember her. She was a wonderful special ed teacher who served several years here, and she lost their youngest son, Andrew. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we also suffered another great loss over the weekend. Jan Allen, who co-founded Lillian's List with my little sister, Laura, together, they changed the fabric of the state and focused on electing pro-choice women to this legislative body. She was one of the first women to be a manager at IBM at Research Triangle Park, and then after she retired from that job, she focused on trying to get the ERA passed in North Carolina and heavily involved in the National Organization for Women before she moved on to co-found Lillian's List. She's had an indelible impact on our state, and I ask you to keep her in your thoughts. Thank you.
Members, we are, just to give members an idea of what we're doing, checking to make sure that we will be in possession of the Senate bill this evening, in which case we will not have to come back until 4 o'clock tomorrow because the bill can be received in tonight and then the redistricting committee can be noticed for the morning. So we're waiting to get confirmation that that will be in this evening as opposed to having an earlier session for the purpose of a re-referral. So we'll stand at ease momentarily until we get a response back from the Senate.
Thank you.
The House will come back to order. It does appear that we will be able to be in possession of the Senate redistricting bill this evening, and so that we will not need a morning session for that. That is Senate Bill 692. And the chair is going to ask the leave of the House that in lieu of the referral to the House Committee on Rules, Counter and Operations of the House, that bill be sent to the House Committee on Redistricting. Is there any objection to that? Hearing not, that was so ordered then. For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
Another moment of personal privilege, Mr.
Chairman. Has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's with sadness that I announce the passing of a longtime coach and friend in Cumberland County, David L. Pugh. David grew up in Oxford, North Carolina, and attended Johnson C. Smith University, where he was outstanding in football, made all CIAA, later went on to Cumberland County to become an outstanding coach. He coached for about 33 years at Armstrong High School before he moved on over to Cape Fear High School, and he retired from Cape Fear High School. He owned several state championships in track. He became an outstanding person in track, and it's with sadness that we announce that his demise has occurred. We do send condolences to his wife, Susie, and his family. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Sir, thank you. Clerk's recognized for announcement.
House Committee on Redistricting will meet Tuesday, September 17th at 10 a.m. in 643 LOV.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, will it be your intention to put the Senate redistricting bill on tomorrow's calendar should it pass House redistricting tomorrow, or would it be your preference to put it on Wednesday's calendar?
Thank you for the question. The intent of the chair is to add it to tomorrow's calendar. Additionally, if the Senate makes any changes to the House redistricting maps, the chair would intend, if they come over and there's a motion to concur, the chair would be adding that to tomorrow's calendar as well. Any further inquire?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, will we be allowed a chance to caucus after House redistricting meets tomorrow to talk about the plans before they're put on the floor?
We will. Yeah, absolutely. So session is going to be set for 4 p.m. It is, I don't believe the redistricting committee has been noticed yet. I'm not sure if it has or not. I'm looking at Representative Lewis. What time is a House redistricting meeting tomorrow, sir? So redistricting's meeting at 10 a.m., so I don't know how long it'll go, but if it runs late, we'll deal with it. But hopefully the committee will be taken care of, and then the gentleman will have time to have caucus, as our caucus, and we're planning on session at 4. If you need more time, just let me know. For what purpose, the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise.
I have to ask a question.
Here, ladies, recognize.
I think I heard you say if the Senate makes any changes to the House maps that you would add that to the calendar. Would you do that without having that bill go back through the redistricting committee?
On these redistricting bills, they can come directly back to the floor on those, and so it would just come back for because all it would be, Representative Minsky, would just be for either a concurrence or a non-concurrence vote, so it's not or it'd be amended. But the Senate's going to be going through their public process in the committee hearing as well. So whatever's there, you'll see how the sausage is made, I guess, if they do anything. So I don't know if they will or won't. Any further notices or announcements? No further notices or announcements. The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, September 17th at 4 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Hastings, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, September 17th at 4 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Stand adjourned.
Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Bill 691, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to allow emergency funding from the Water and Wastewater Reserve to cover operating deficits incurred by certain public water and wastewater systems. This bill is read a first time and referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Bill 692, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to comply with order of the court in 18 CVS 014001, Wake County. This bill is read a first time and referred to the Committee on Redistricting.